Hey, I wanted to jump in here and let you know that we have an introductory pricing going on right now up until May 18th. And what this is I have taken my courses and combined them all into a Move Better bundle. So you're going to be working on your feet, you're going to be working on your posture, and you're going to be working on your core, pelvic floor, all of those things. And you can save big right now. I am selling this for 50% off. So head to movingthroughmidlife.com, click on the Work With Me link. It is the Moving Through Midlife program, your Move Better bundle, where you can start working on feeling better in your body. You also then get access to workouts, recipe guides, live sessions with me and live classes with me throughout the month. So head to movingthroughmidlife.com, click on the Move With Me link, enter intro, and that will give you 50% off. I'm looking forward to it. Welcome to Moving Through Midlife. I am your host, Courtney, a personal trainer and movement specialist who wants to help you move through midlife with more grace. Each week, we will discuss ways we can show up better for ourselves and our children without the burnout. We will focus on overall health through habit stacking to help increase energy, provide movement snacks to help you move more throughout the day while also moving your body more, and learn from professionals on moving through midlife with ease so that you can feel confident with aging gracefully. Grab your earbuds and join me on a leisurely walk while we discuss moving through midlife. This is part two of the why is my body changing and what can I do about it? And this week we are talking about nutrition. If you did not listen to last week's episode, I encourage you to go back, as that is where we start to discuss why this is happening. And then I provide you with some tips on exercise. This week, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into nutrition and how you can support your body through the changes when it comes to the nutrition aspect. So the first thing to note is that during midlife, our belly fat increases 44%. And what I want you to get from that is that you are not alone. This is something we all are dealing with. And depending on where you are within the journey will depend on what you've noticed. I did, for myself, notice some slight gain. When I hit about 42, there was some slight weight gain that was occurring, and it was a little bit noticeable. But then once I hit 45, things started to drastically change within my physique. And I would say now at 48, I am still, I'm even noticing it more with my muscle loss. A lot of muscle loss that's occurring once you get older and how that changes the body itself, the way it looks in clothing, the way it feels in clothing, and all of that. So we're going to discuss supporting the body through nutrition to ensure that you are helping your blood pressure, your blood sugar, your, for those that are interested, if the belly fat, and then lipids and triglycerides, because these are all things that are affected by the weight gain and your diet. What tends to happen when these things start to occur is we, because of how we've just been ingrained over the years, is we start to eat less and we start to exercise more. And I want to make sure you understand that this is no longer the answer. When you hit a certain age, you're going to have to dive a little bit deeper than that. The first thing I want to make sure that you're doing is eating enough food. Are you eating enough? A lot of these programs that you may look at talk about the calories that you should be taking in. And they'll recommend like 1500 calories. And basically, what they're doing is they're trying to get you into a deficit, a calorie deficit. And they know that the apps and stuff, a sedentary person, a person who sits all day long, is going through 1500 calories naturally. Like that is what your body does when you are doing nothing. That's the amount of calories it runs through. So knowing that you need to go into a deficit, a lot of them will have you sit there. The thing that isn't taken into account at that point is how active an individual is. So if you are more active, you're going to need more calories. It doesn't take into account hormones. And this is a big one when it comes to nutrition and calories because we have an increased cortisol response as we get older. And cortisol keeps your body in, a little bit of cortisol is good. The problem is we are bombarded with cortisol due to lack of eating, due to high sugar consumption, due to sleeping or the lack of sleep that is occurring, and then all the other things that we're hit with that can increase our cortisol levels. So that also plays a role in how our body is handling the calories, and not only handling, but how it feels. If you are not eating enough calories, your body thinks that it's going through a time when there's not enough food around. So it can have a slight cortisol response where it then, changes how it holds on to more of the weight. So you need to make sure that you are eating enough calories. I do not recommend that you count your calories. I really would recommend you start listening to your body. You'll hear me say that over and over again. Really start listening to your body and determine what your body needs. And when you feed it with the right foods, you will stop craving these other things, these sugary substances, these highly processed foods. Can we call them foods? I'm not even sure. These highly processed substances and things like that. Once you start eating your whole foods, you start to crave less, you start to be filled up by more. And then you can naturally allow your body to give you the proper hunger signals. When you are eating a diet rich in sugary foods, processed foods, sometimes that information gets confusing because there's different things that start to occur within the body that are now affecting these cravings. And that is kind of what I wanted to mention as well, is there are in your gut, you have two main different bugs. So there are two different types of bugs. There's sugar bugs and healthy bugs. And the sugar bugs are Firmicutes. And when we tend to eat a lot of sugary foods, we have more Firmicutes. The more Firmicutes you have, the more sugar you crave, it increases inflammation and absorbs more energy. What your goal is to do is start to eat more fruits and vegetables to help make sure that you're eating the, or I'm sorry, make sure that you're getting the healthy bugs. So more healthy bugs, they start to kill off the Firmicutes. And you'll deal with less inflammation, and it helps to raise your metabolism as well. So, if we are working on eating more fruits and vegetables, then we're going to be, and I'm not saying that this has to be a vegetarian or vegan diet. I'm just saying the more fruits and vegetables you get into your diet, the more your body knows what to do with those nutrients to help you get through the day better without these cravings, and you're more likely to eat for your calories. The second thing, so that's all in, are you eating enough and what are you eating? The second thing is protein. Protein is one of the most important things you can do for your muscles. And we need more muscles because it's going to pull the glycogen out of the blood. And that helps to keep the blood sugar stable. It also helps with the bone density. The stronger your muscles are, the stronger your bones are. And as we get older, that starts to become a concern. So it's important that we're getting more protein. And if I could recommend the most important time to get that protein is going to be your breakfast, because you're coming out of that fasted state and you want to make sure that you're providing your body the protein. And then that will also help to keep that blood sugar more stable. So if you come in and you, for breakfast, you're eating all those sugary things or carb heavy things like waffles and pancakes and toast, things like that, you are going to start that cycle of the cravings right away. So we want to work on lowering that. That doesn't mean you can't have those things, but learning how to eat them with your protein. And honestly, when you're eating 30 to 40 grams of protein in the morning, you will find that you're not going to want to eat as much of those other things. It's going to help satiate you more. The other cool thing about protein is if you eat protein within 30 minutes after your workout, especially for those of you who like your higher intensity workouts, your cortisol level goes up because of that, right? So the higher intensity the workout is, the higher the cortisol levels spike. One way to bring those back down and get them into check is to add protein into the diet within 30 minutes after your workout. That helps to lower that cortisol. So that is a great recovery for you to practice after those high intensity workouts. And then the third thing, which I've already touched on with the eating more fruits and vegetables, is change your thinking with carbs. So anytime we think of carbs, we immediately think like rice and pastas and breads and things like that. But I want you to start thinking about the fiber. Carbs can be fiber, and carbs are not bad because we want lots of fruits and vegetables in our body because of the micronutrients, the antioxidants, the bugs, your gut bugs like to have that fiber, those fruits and those vegetables. And I am a big proponent of not even worrying about, like, am I eating more fruits than vegetables? Yes, it's great to get vegetables in, but honestly, if you're getting fruits in every day, then you are on the right track, right? Because the goal is to start eating less of the processed stuff. Less of that, more of fruits and vegetables, and the better you will start to feel. The other really cool thing is cruciferous vegetables. So think your cabbage, your broccoli, your cauliflower, all of those things. They help to pull estrogen from the body. And I've got to tell you this funny, it might not be funny to you, but when I was a child, I was probably, I would say, between the years of, say, 16 and 18. I remember in high school, my mom would get on this coleslaw kick. And my father and I would, I mean, it was like, we were, I can't even talk. We were relentless with my mom because every night at dinner, we'd be like, oh, we know we're getting coleslaw. What's going to be on the side with the coleslaw? It was nonstop coleslaw in the house. And I always thought it was funny, and I thought it was her way of just kind of like, I don't want to say phoning it in, but she had gotten to the point where she was like, here, you know what you're going to have as your side? It's coleslaw. There you go. And I noticed, my mom and I are 30 years apart. My oldest son and I are 30 years apart. Right about when he was 16 years old, 16, 17, guess what? I started loving coleslaw. Now, I did not require my kids to eat coleslaw at every meal, but I still make it for myself all the time for lunch. I'll have it like anytime if we are running around and I don't have time to make dinner or something, I'll make some coleslaw and then I'll have it with whatever protein or whatever I'm doing. But we have coleslaw a lot more. And then I always make it for lunch. I just had some a little bit ago. And I started thinking about it. I was like, huh, this is about the same time my mom was eating that coleslaw all the time. Is this more something innate within us that kind of told us, like, it was this a craving that we both got because our body is craving something like those cruciferous vegetables because it knows that we need that to get that extra excess estrogen out. So I just thought it was interesting. I always kind of think further into things like that, like, huh, I wonder if this was like my body's way of responding. And maybe it was hers too, because she had it at around the same time. So I don't know. It maybe if you're craving coleslaw or cabbage, maybe that is your situation as well. It's just your body's way of handling the situation. And if you are doing that, it is great because you will also notice that the more that you're eating this way with the protein, eating enough foods throughout the day and eating your fiber, you will start to see a decrease in hot flashes, PMS symptoms, all of that. It is all interrelated. I'm sure there are situations outside of that, so I don't want to speak for everyone, but for many of you, it is going to help. I would say I have not cut sugar out of my diet. I have cut it tremendously just because I notice I don't feel as well anymore. It's like the alcohol. Probably 8 years ago, I stopped drinking alcohol, not for any other reason than I just didn't feel good after I drank. Now, do I go out occasionally and have a glass of wine? No, not really. I have like a margarita, but I don't feel good when I drink, so I just don't do it. And that's kind of where I've gotten with sugar. I really have gotten to where I listen to my body, and I don't feel as good when I eat sugar. So I don't eat it as much. I still do eat it, but I don't eat it as much. So all to say with all of this, always listen to your body. The more you start to listen, and maybe you have to pull something out of your diet for a little bit so you can start to hear what your body's telling you, then when you bring it back in, you will notice it more. So that is what I'm going to recommend with you, is really start paying attention, notice what your body's feeling, and try to work on eating a little bit differently. Would I recommend not eating certain foods? No. I mean, I think, like I said, I'll still occasionally eat sugar. If I'm craving it and I want something, I'll eat it. My goal is not for anyone to feel deprived. The goal is to get you to really start to see what you feel like when you eat certain foods. And how much better you feel when you're eating more of the whole foods, eating your proteins, eating your fibers. All of that will definitely help you to feel better. So, that is the information for today in regard to the nutrients and the foods that you should be eating. Hopefully that will help. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me at Courtney@formfitnaples.com or join me over in my Moving Through Midlife community, where I'm there to answer questions for anybody who has them. I'm happy to help guide you or just commiserate with you if you are struggling in any way. This is definitely an ever-changing journey. The way that I felt at 42 is very different than the way I feel today. And I'm sure some of you are even further ahead of me, and you can help guide us along as well on that next journey as we get into our 50s and hit actual menopause. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Feel free to leave me any questions you have, Courtney@formfitnaples.com. Or head over to our Moving Through Midlife community. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found something to take away to help you practice healthier habits, move more, or handle the midlife and aging with grace. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend or leave us a review to help us reach more moms just like you. Head to movingthroughmidlife.com to join the free community or learn how you can move more and feel better in your daily life.